Well, I want to encourage you to grab your copy of God's Word, whether that's one that you brought or one that's close by you in the bottom of a seat or it's on your phone. You can also join us as the text will be up on the screen this morning as well. We are embarking this Sunday and the next three Sundays on a new series working through the chapter in Colossians that speaks to relationships. And so we're going to look at Colossians chapter 3. We're going to walk through that chapter over the next 4 weeks together. And as we prepare to do that, I want to ask you this question. This is a moment of honesty, confession before the Lord for you this morning. Are you ready for this? How many of you have ever had this thought, life would be so much easier if I didn't have to deal with people? You ever had that thought? If you're honest, all of us at some point have had that thought. And here's what's interesting. All of us are engaged in relationships, and we worship a God who is a relational God. Think about the fact that the Trinity is Father, Son, Holy Spirit in relationship together, and God desires to have a relationship with us, and God tells us that we are to have relationships with other people in this world. And here's where the problem comes in. Relationships are oftentimes messy. They're difficult. They're tough. Think about your relationship with your spouse. If you're honest, it's not always easy. Don't say amen. That's the wrong time to say that, okay? Your relationship with your kids is not always easy. With your employer, with people in this world, and even if we're honest, our relationship with God is not always easy. And so the question is, does God's Word have something to say about our relationships? And the reality is, it does. In Colossians chapter 3, we're going to look at what it looks like for us to have good, godly relationships. What it looks like, first of all, for our relationship with God to be on track, and then as we look at relationship with our spouse, relationship with our kids, relationships with others in this world as a follower of Jesus, how do we best understand those, and how do we interact in those relationships in a way that honors the Lord? And so this morning, I want to read for us Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through verse 17. That's the chapter and verses that we'll look at this morning as we consider what it looks like for us as followers of Jesus to be a new creation. Look with me, Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which you indeed were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Father, we ask this morning that you would open our eyes that we would be able to see, that you would open our ears that we would be able to hear, and that you would open our hearts and our minds that we would be ready to respond to your word and to your spirit. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. As you're taking notes this morning, I encourage you, write down this main idea. It'll frame our time together as we consider these verses. It's this truth: every relationship in our life is deeply impacted by our relationship with the Lord. Every relationship, if you are a follower of Jesus, is deeply impacted by your relationship with the Lord. You see, here's the thing. Oftentimes, when we begin to talk about relationships, we primarily think about other people and their problems. Oftentimes, we think the problem in the relationships that I have is them and not me. But here's the problem with that. Everywhere you go with you. Think about that. I know that's utterly profound for you this morning. Everywhere you and I go, there we are. And so first, as we think about relationships, we have to first look at ourselves. Look at our relationship with the Lord, because our relationship with the Lord will deeply impact every relationship that we have. In fact, Paul, here in Colossians chapter 3, is going to highlight that for us this morning. And so what I hope will happen is that if you are a follower of Jesus, you will be challenged and encouraged this morning as you think about your own life, your own sanctification, your own growth in your relationship with the Lord and how that impacts your relationships around you. And then if you're not a follower of Jesus, I hope you'll recognize that it will be almost impossible for you to have thriving relationships with the people in your life apart from a relationship first and foremost with Jesus Christ. That is the hinge for you to have the relationships God intends for you to have. And so let's look this morning at verses 1 through 4, first of all, and see what Paul says. Because what you have to understand is that these verses, 1 through 17, in Colossians chapter 3, precede Paul's instructions to the church there about their marriage relationships, about their relationships with their kids, and their relationships with the culture around them. So here's what we have to understand. This is going to serve as the foundation for our understanding of every other relationship that we have, our relationship with the Lord. And this is what Paul says, beginning there in verse 1. If then you have been raised with Christ. In fact, you could take that word if, it sounds as if maybe there's a question, have you been raised with Christ? But Paul is saying here, since you have been raised with Christ. His assumption as he's writing to this church is that it is filled with believers who have trusted in Jesus as their Savior. And so he says, if or since you have been raised with Christ. You are a follower of Jesus. In fact, what we celebrated, Jesus' resurrection, is a reality for us if we are followers of Jesus. We too have been raised to new life in Christ. And so Paul writes to this group of believers, if or since you have been raised with Christ, since you are a follower of Jesus, notice what he says to them, seek the things that are above, or pursue after the things that are of the Lord. Now, when you think about that, have you ever pursued after something in your life with reckless abandon? You just had to have whatever it was. If you're married, hopefully you pursued after your spouse like that. And can I just encourage you, you should continue pursuing after your spouse like that today. But notice that he says to this group of believers, seek the things that are above, or pursue after. This is a present tense, continual action verb. Daily, every time we draw breath, we are to seek after, pursue after the things of the Lord. And notice that he follows that up with, not only are we to seek the things that are above, but in verse 2, he says also, set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. Pursue after the things of the Lord and saturate your mind with the things of the Lord. If you have ever marinated something, that's the picture there that is coming forth when he says, set your mind on the things that are of the Lord. So notice that for Paul is going to help us in relationships by first talking about our relationship with the Lord. And he says at the outset here, if or since you are a follower of Jesus, two things should be true in your life. You should be pursuing or seeking after the things of the Lord, and you are to be setting your mind or saturating your mind with the things of the Lord. In fact, he continues and gives them the reason why, beginning in verse 3, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. In fact, he says, why should you be pursuing after the things of the Lord and saturated by the things of the Lord? Well, because of what Christ has done in your life. Those things should be going on in your life because you have been rescued from your sin. You have been brought out of death into life in Christ. And since that is true of you, you are to pursue the things of the Lord. You're to saturate your mind with the things of the Lord. Now, if you think about that, we look and say, of course we're supposed to do that. If you're a follower of Jesus, you think, yeah, I know that I should be pursuing the things of the Lord. I know that I should be saturating my mind with the things of the Lord. I know those things should be true. And maybe you're here, you're not a follower of Jesus. Can I just let you know that apart from a relationship with Jesus, none of those things can be true in your life? You are desperately in need of a relationship with Jesus to be able to do what Paul is telling these believers to do. But here's what I love about Paul. Paul is always, always practical. Because you may read that and say, yes, I know I should be doing those things. I know I should be pursuing the things of the Lord. I know that I should be saturating my mind with the things of the Lord. And if I was doing those things, it would not only change my relationship with the Lord, but it would change my relationships outside of that as well. But how do I actually do that? Like, I know I should do that, but practically speaking, how do I pursue after the things of the Lord? How do I saturate my mind with the things of the Lord? Here's the good news. Paul is going to tell us exactly how we should do that. First, by telling us, here's something that you need to do to put to death your old self. And then, here's what you need to do to put on the new self that it's available for you in Christ. And so you're going to see that this morning, and here's what you're going to see on the screens. You're going to see that it's going to build on itself. So by the time I'm done this morning, all three screens are going to be filled with these admonitions from Paul speaking of our relationship with the Lord. Notice in verses 5 through verse 11, Paul is going to say, practically, how do we pursue the things of the Lord? Practically, how do we saturate our minds with the things of the Lord? He says, beginning in verse 5, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Now, if you read that, that sounds pretty harsh. And it has to. Because here's what we understand about our relationship with the Lord as a result of what Christ Jesus has done for us. We have been redeemed. We have been set free, as we sang, from bondage to sin. But you and I have to recognize there is an ongoing battle in our lives, day in and day out, where we must actively put to death our old self. We must actively put to death the things of the flesh in our lives. And so that's exactly what Paul says here. Put to death what is earthly in you. He's going to give us a list. Notice: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. And then he says, a little bit of commentary in verse 6, on account of these, the wrath of God is coming, and in these you too once walked when you were living in them. He says, listen, before you met Jesus, your life was characterized by these things. But you have to recognize, even after you've met Jesus, you have to actively take steps to continue to put to death those things that are in you. You've been set free from them, but it doesn't mean that in our lives they magically just go away. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we have to actively work to put to death those things in us. Notice that he's going to continue in verse 8. Now you must put them all away. He's going to expand on this list: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with his practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. And in this, Paul is saying, for us as followers of Jesus, we must put to death these things in our life through the power of the Holy Spirit, who continues to transform us day in and day out. We participate in the action of putting them to death in our lives. Now pause for just a second. Look at all of those things and ask yourself this question as a follower of Jesus. If these are present in my life and I have not put them to death, or I am not actively seeking to put them to death in my life, think about the impact in your relationships if those things are still present. If you're still battling with anger, think about how that impacts your relationship with your spouse. If you're still dealing with obscene talk, think about how that impacts your relationships with other people. If you are lying to those in your life, think about how that impacts your relationship with them. You see, Paul recognizes and understands that for us, we have to actively take steps to put these to death in our lives. We've already been set free from the power of them in our lives. But it doesn't mean they magically go away. We have to actively seek to put them to death. Last year, after turning 40, I figured it was probably a good time to go to the doctor, which was a dumb idea. But one of the things the doctor said is, you know, you really need to go see the dermatologist, which is just another doctor. Doctors like for you to go to see doctors. I don't know if you know that or not. But I went to see the dermatologist, and they scanned everything, and one of the things that the dermatologist said was, you've got a spot on your ear, and we need to take care of that. And I said, what does that mean? I said, we're going to freeze that spot so that it dies, so that it doesn't turn into cancer. And I thought, okay, that makes sense. And so that's exactly what they did. Froze the spot on my ear, it died, and I don't have to worry about it turning into cancer on my ear. And so as I was thinking about putting to death the things of the flesh, what Paul says here, it's this picture that these things in the life of a follower of Jesus are just like cancer. And if they are allowed to continue to exist, they will continue to wreak havoc in our lives. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, we are to actively take steps to put them to death in our lives. And as we do that, can I just let you know this? Your relationship, not only with the Lord, but your relationship with other people will be radically different if you do that. Not only that, Paul's going to continue. Not only does he say put to death or put off these earthly things, but practically speaking, notice he begins in verse 12, going down through verse 17, and says, put on the things of the Lord. Notice, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts. In fact, as you look, he's going to provide a list as he continues to walk through this. Kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Paul says practically, if you're going to seek the things of the Lord, if you're going to saturate your mind with the things of the Lord, it will come first by putting to death the things of the flesh. But notice that he says also, it will come as you put on the things of the Lord. Now look at those things, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, patience, meekness, love, thanksgiving, forgiveness, peace, truth, understanding. Compare those with the words that are over here and ask yourself this question. If those things are true and growing in my life, how does that impact my relationships with others? In fact, think about that in your relationship with your spouse. If you are kind, if you are patient, if you are loving, if you forgive, it radically impacts your relationship with your spouse and your relationship with your kids and your relationships with everyone in this world. If those things are true, Paul says, notice the difference that they make in your life, not only in your relationship with the Lord, but also in your relationship with others. You see, the truth is, at the foundation level, for us and our relationship with other people, we have to recognize our relationship with the Lord deeply impacts those other relationships. So maybe you're sitting here this morning and you think, okay, I see the list. I know that I'm supposed to seek the things of the Lord, that I'm supposed to saturate my mind with the things of the Lord. And you said that, practically speaking, Paul tells us how to do that by putting to death the things of the flesh and putting on the things of the Lord. So I understand that, but let's go one more level. How do we actually do that? Right? Like, we know these things should be true in our lives. We know that we should be growing in these in our lives. But practically speaking, how do we actually do that? Well, recognize this morning, first and foremost, apart from a relationship with Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit of God indwelling our lives, empowering us, it is impossible to do what we see here on the screen. You and I cannot pick ourselves up by our own bootstraps when it comes to these things. But through the power of the Holy Spirit of God at work in our lives, as we are filled with the Spirit, as we yield to the Spirit's control in our lives, working in us and working through us, we can begin to see those realities come to play in our lives. And so recognize this morning, I'm not here saying to you, you need to pick yourself up by your own bootstraps. You need to do these things. If you don't do these things, it's going to be bad for you. Hear me this morning. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is that as the Spirit of God works in your life, if you are a follower of Jesus, you will begin to see these things become true in your life. As you pursue after the things of the Lord, you'll begin to see your life transform through the power of the Holy Spirit of God at work in you. And when we think about this, we also have to recognize that God's Word plays a primary importance in our lives as it comes to these things. Because as we think about that, how do we know what the things of the Lord are apart from the truth that God has proclaimed to us in His Word? And so I want to encourage you. You say, I want these things to be true. I want to pursue after the things of the Lord. I want to saturate my mind with the things of the Lord. I want to put to death the things of the flesh. I want to put on the things of the Lord. Recognize that a key part of that will begin with your time in God's Word. As the Holy Spirit of God is at work within you, molding and shaping you to be more like Jesus, as you are allowing your life to be marked by and transformed by the truth of God's Word, that is how, practically speaking, day in, day out, this happens in your life. Not only that, you and I desperately need the community of other followers of Jesus. One of the most encouraging things that can happen in your life if you are a follower of Jesus is to have another follower of Jesus in love come to you and say, there are areas in your life that you need to put to death. I know that just got weird, didn't it? You think, I don't want anybody to tell me that. Like, I already know that. But isn't it often good for us as followers of Jesus for other people to love us well enough to say, there are areas in your life where I'm seeing, I'm witnessing things of the flesh that are coming out? In fact, I've had conversations before with customer service representatives, which is never fun. And I have had my wife at times say to me, how would you like to be on the other end of that phone call? Right? Am I patient? Not a chance. Am I kind? Not usually. Right? And so it's a mirror in front of me to say, oh my word, look at what's going on in my heart and my life. That is what I'm supposed to be putting to death, and I'm supposed to be putting on kindness and patience and gentleness, and those are the things that should be true. And here, this customer service representative is not receiving that, and the problem is not them, the problem is me. And the problem is oftentimes you. And as we think through that, we need people that are trusted in our lives that can speak into our lives, that can encourage us as we seek to pursue the things of the Lord, where there is error in our lives that seeks to say, I love you too much to just let you continue in that path. And so as we think about Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 17, maybe you've come in this morning, and for you, you're not a follower of Jesus. What we've just talked about is impossible for you to do until you first surrender your life to Jesus Christ. And that's the step that you need to take this morning. Maybe you're already, though, a follower of Jesus, but as you think about the lists that you have seen, there is work that needs to take place in your life this morning. There are things in that list that you should be putting to death that you have grown comfortable with, and the Holy Spirit of God and His grace in this moment has pinpointed in your life those things, and this is not a moment to excuse those in your life or seek to self-justify in this moment. This is a time for you in humility before the Lord to confess that sin to Him. And say, God, through the power of your Holy Spirit, help me put to death those things in my life. And maybe for you, as you look, you realize that there are things that you should be putting on. Maybe you've done a pretty good job of putting to death things, but there are things that you need to actively put on in your life through the power of the Holy Spirit. And this is a moment for you in prayer before the Lord to say, God, help me. Help me put on kindness through the power of your Spirit, patience, gentleness. Help me in my relationship with my kids and my relationship with my friends and my spouse and those in this community in which we live. Help them to see Christ in me and not the old me that used to be. So this morning, would you bow your heads with me as our worship team comes? I want to give you an opportunity just before the Lord to spend some time in reflection this morning. Maybe spend some time in confession. Maybe as you sit this morning, there are relationships in your life that are not going incredibly well. And you simply want to spend some time in prayer about those relationships. And can I encourage you as you do that, begin with a mirror this morning, looking at your own responsibility before the Lord in that relationship. Ask the Lord to transform you. Father, we're grateful today for your word. We're grateful, God, that you loved us enough to send your son Jesus to rescue us from our sin, to set us free from the bondage of sin and its effects in our lives. Father, if there's one here this morning that has not experienced that salvation, God, would you help them take that step this morning? Father, for the believers here this morning, through the power of your Spirit, would you help us seek and pursue after the things that are above? God, help us to put to death sin in our life. God, help us to put on the characteristics that marked your son Jesus and his character. God, let our relationship with you serve as the foundation for our other relationships in this life. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand, join us as we sing this morning? I'll be down front. Our altar's open. You come as the Lord leads.